Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine this. You're stranded on an island forever. But don't freak out because you get to bring one dish with you. Your desert island dish. What is it?
Every week your hosts, Paul and Tegan, that's us.
Hello.
Hello. We'll ask this question. They'll chat with and torment a literal raft of guests on the island who'll dish up stories, gossip and culinary secrets.
But they all have one big thing in common. They bloody love food.
Welcome to Dish Island. Hope you're having a good week, everyone. Tegan, this is a food podcast.
It is indeed, Paul.
Now, I happen to know for a fact that you've been experimenting in the kitchen a little bit, which sounds so dark.
I have, though. I've been trying to nail Swiss meringue buttercream. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason I gave this a go is because, like many people in Australia, during lockdown, I started following the Instagram account of Miss Trixie Drinks Tea. She's a cake wizard. I love her posts, and all of her cakes feature this really fluffy, thick-looking, gorgeous icing. And I did some research and it's Swiss meringue buttercream. Turns out it's really hard to nail because you've got to cook off the egg whites with the sugar before you whip them up into a frenzy.
Yeah.
I gave it a shot and I think I did okay, but the sugar didn't quite melt down in that first cooking off section.
It was a bit grainy, but I will say this. I have pretty high standards for cake. I ate, I think, 2/3 of this thing.
You did.
Yeah, it was really good.
You really must stop doing that. But if anybody out there does make Swiss meringue buttercream on a regular basis, why was my buttercream still grainy? Please help me out. What have you been cooking?
Well, I've been making a lot of hummus. I mean, a lot of hummus. Now, the problem with hummus is, first of all, if you haven't made your own, you have to try it.
You really need to. I didn't realize it was so easy.
No, it's easy. It always tastes better. You can play with the kind of flavor profiles a little bit.
Just roast the garlic before you put the garlic in. You cannot roast the garlic if you choose.
Yeah.
It's not a deal breaker, but it's so much better if you roast the garlic.
Agreed. But this is an appeal to any medical experts listening to the show. How much hummus is too much to imbibe from a medical safety perspective?
I'm not a doctor. And I think in this day and age, it's really clear to draw that line between what is my opinion and what is medical advice.
Mm-hmm.
That said, you're eating too much hummus. And I know this because of...
Shut up. So, look, full disclosure, everyone. Tegan and I live in a fairly small apartment.
It's pretty small.
Yeah. And if you're eating hummus 4 to 5 times a day for 3 or 4 days... And it's the weather's bad outside, so you can't really ventilate.
Jesus.
Things have gotten a bit swampy.
Oh, God, Paul.
Yeah. Well, you know.
How do we segue from swampy into our guest who is the absolute opposite of swampy?
I think you just did.
She is glittering and glowing. She is a beacon of hope and joy for Australians around the country. She's not swampy.
You know, if we'd started with the farts and gone to the cake, at least it would have been sort of a gradual incline towards the splendor that is our guest. Instead, we've gone cake, farts, and we're going straight back to our guest this week. And you know what? I think we should just introduce her because she's absolutely incredible, and maybe she'll distract people from the stuff I just talked about.
You've done this woman no justice, Paul. No justice.
Hopefully my introduction does. Our next guest is an incredible singer-songwriter taking out an iconic win in season 5 of X Factor. She's topped the charts countless times. She's represented Australia at Eurovision and is currently appearing on the brand new season of Celebrity MasterChef. Please welcome Dami Im. Dami, welcome to Dish Island. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, everyone has a different means of arriving on the island, so we're just kind of curious as to how you actually got here today.
I got here by madly clicking on links and hoping this works. Yeah, and I'm really glad I made it.
The most honest arrival on our island yet, and frankly, one that didn't involve violence, which lately has become a very different thing for us.
Yeah,
so, yay!
Darren Hayes got kidnapped. It was very confronting.
Oh, so. Very confronting.
Oh, my! I feel very unimaginative, but
no, you're fine. Well, look, you've got every excuse in the world because you are just putting all of your creativity and imagination into Celebrity MasterChef, which launched this week, of course.
That's right.
Now, you know, we don't need to look far to realize that you are a bit of a foodie and food is an important part of your life. But how much of a role does food play in your day-to-day existence? Do you, are you like me? Are you just thinking about it all the time?
Are you thinking about it right now?
Yeah, I've always been obsessed with food, but I didn't really know that was unusual until I started to meet other people who weren't like that. You know, our family, we just... when we get up in the morning, we talk about, like, I mean, we always have a big breakfast together and we talk about what we're going to eat next, you know, and as we're eating the next meal, we talk about the next meal. And it's just like, and like now my mom and dad are in Korea and I'm, you know, obviously not there with them, but we always like ask, I call them and, you know, what did you have? What did you eat for lunch? Like we just, that's our conversation. So all we ever talk about is food, what we're going to have next. And the way we keep in touch is we send each other what we just ate. Like, and I thought everybody did that, but then someone told me that's really weird. I'm like, oh.
I don't think it's weird. I think it's great.
Yeah. And then I, you know, like when I care about someone, like when I become friends with someone, or I think I did, I send them pictures of my food and they go, dude, that's really weird. Don't do that. I'm like, oh, I thought you cared about me.
Do you send any context or is it just completely caption-free photos of food, like really creepy stuff?
Oh, it depends like how far into the relationship I'm in, you know? Like if I'm sort of new, I'd be like, hey, like tacos, you know? Or if I just send, like if I'm close enough, I'll just send it to them and you know, you expect a reaction because the food is amazing.
This is the sort of online communication that I fully endorse. Like, I believe I've not dated for a very, very long time, but I believe most people are gauging any sort of relationship by horrible nude photos of one another. You're just like, I'm going to send you a photo of tacos and this now means we're in love. Gosh, I wish we could all just do food now. Yep. Food should be how we communicate.
Less dick pics, more snack pics, right?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Yeah, dick pics are gross, but yeah, food.
Thank you. Actual eggplants. Let's send photos of actual eggplants.
Please. Yes, yes, cooked and seasoned.
I've got to ask, Paul and I feel that during lockdown, because we were the same, all we spoke about was food, a lot of what we think about is food, and it has ramped up even more now. Have you found that, or perhaps as being away from your parents, because I know you're really close with your family, has that really complicated your relationship with food in lockdown?
Yeah, so before lockdown, like, last year, my mom sort of traveling back and forth between Korea and Australia. And when she's in Australia, she would cook every meal for us, me and my husband, like, which is a bit weird, but like, that's her thing. Like, she loves cooking. So she actually got stuck in Australia because COVID happened while she was here. And so like it's a long story. Like we had to really try hard to send her back to where dad was. And then once she went back, yeah. And all of a sudden I had to do all the cooking. And that's, I guess that's when I really got to experiment and try and replicate all the beautiful things that she used to make. So yeah, like I love it. I love that I have more time to cook and I have the space to cook and yeah, it's been good.
We were talking to Melissa Leong and she basically had this sort of moment where we basically asked her point blank, dummy, whether she thought she could cook her mum's dishes better than her mum could.
Ooh.
Do you have this sort of, are you competitive, you know, cooking stuff that you were raised on by your mum, or do you think you're never going to top her cooking?
Man, that's so... so rude, but no, because like, you know, like she's the star chef in our family, you know, whenever I try to cook something, she'd sort of like, you know, it's like, I'd rather her not be there because she'd keep like telling me, oh, that's not how it's done. Like, but I do feel like, look, like I'm not as experienced as her, but I feel like sometimes I like doing it my way. You know what I mean? Just, you can always change things up and, you know, and try a different menu. And like now everybody seems to get their recipes off YouTube and I do that too. And there's so many different ways you can make those like foods that you're used to making. And, you know, mum's way isn't the only way you can learn. So This is just going to be so offended, but I think you take what your mum did and then you just sort of mold it into your own thing.
So you just, you know, you're improving on it and you're just kind of doing a different iteration.
Dami, I read online that going into this season of Celebrity MasterChef, you had tactics. You kind of came in with a bit of a game plan. Can you explain that game plan for me?
Okay, well, my game plan, because I figured these judges, they're like professional chefs. They're so experienced in their food, in their like Italian cuisine and French cuisine, whatever. I thought they're not Korean. They don't know Korean cuisine, I don't think. They might, but I thought I know my Korean food probably better than all of them. So I'll just do it. And if it's not so good, no one's going to know. You know? So, yeah. I mean, you'll get to see how that works out. But that was my tactic. And, yeah, I think I'm so clever.
I love that your tactic wasn't like, I'm going to perfect Korean cooking and I'm going to come in with my A game. It was just like, they'll never know the truth.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if they say something bad, I'd be like, this is traditional. This is from my region in Korea, on the island somewhere. So I can tell you like some of that worked and some of that didn't.
Right.
And but I still do think like with sort of more mainstream, I don't know, like Australian, whatever. Yeah, like things that more mainstream Australians eat. I probably am like so, my level is so low and basic. Like I made my first lasagna for like last week, okay?
I don't,
that's not my thing, or like making, I don't know, pasta. Like I would have gotten smashed. Like it wouldn't have gone well at all if I did that. So I really needed to find something that, yeah, the judges didn't know. And also, yeah, I didn't realize, but I just grew up on a really Korean and I guess Asian fusion diet, even though I thought I was very like, oh, Australian growing up here, but no, apparently not.
I would love to talk about your upbringing a bit more. In fact, Paul has a question about this that we were talking about this morning. But just before we get there, have you done this on any other reality shows, this tactic? Like, were you just making songs up or just like being like, la la feelings, nobody knows the lyrics? Like, have you, is this a thing for you?
Look, I would have loved to have done that, but I have done it like, you know, singing a Korean song, for example, no one would know. And I actually got to sing. I was listening to you guys speak to Julia Zemiro, lovely, great episode. And I love Julia. She invited me to perform at the Adelaide Cabaret Festival when she was the artistic director. And as part of my cabaret performance, I got to sing Gangnam Style. Do you remember that song?
Yeah.
And I realized, okay, I'm learning my lyrics, but let's be real, no one's going to know if I just made it up. So on the day, yeah, I really didn't care. And I just sort of, you know, it's a loose memory, kind of loose version of the song, and nobody knew. And it was awesome.
Right. So you just kind of made sounds that sound roughly like the lyrics and no one really paid attention. I mean, were there any, you know, people who spoke the language in the audience going like, what is going on here?
I actually said, hey, anyone speak Korean here? And there was nobody. So I could do it with confidence.
Great.
Everyone loved it.
I've been a fan for a long time now. I think you've just gone up to hear hero status in my mind. I just love that you did that so much.
So every time now, if you see me sing a song in another language, now you're going to know.
All right, great.
That's awesome.
I'm making that up.
I just love the idea of you cooking something, you know, dishing up something with kimchi, and one of the judges winces and you're like, what are you, racist? Like, do you not?
Can't say that. Yeah. That's my home cooking. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
No, yeah, I really had that up my sleeve. I was like, if that happens, yeah. I might just use that cart.
Oh, that's so great. Well, look, talking about growing up and eating food, when I was a kid, food, you know, you'd invite people over to your house, dummy, and you would hope that your mum just blew their minds with incredible cooking, right? Mm. So you moved across here when you were 9, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So I can imagine like a 9-year-old dummy, you know, making friends, inviting people over. What were the reactions to your mum's cooking from, you know, Aussie kids?
Oh, my gosh. So yeah, so I came here, I was in year 5 and not much English, and I started to make friends at my school. And I remember, yeah, I invited some friends. We went for a swim in our, like, we lived in this like townhouse and there was a pool and it was so exciting and time for her to make lunch. And she made us pasta, like tomato based pasta, right? Mm. And because we thought that was, you know, that's like Western food, like that's what they eat here. But then they came over quite frequently and every single time she'd make them tomato pasta because we just thought that's what they eat. And and then after a while, my best friend was like, why does your mom only make pasta? And that's the first time I realized, they don't eat pasta for every meal here. Yeah, I think that was a bit of a cultural thing that we just didn't understand. I mean, I still don't know, like, what do parents give when you go to their, I guess I remember they gave us like party pies and things like that, but it was a mystery to us. You know, you just, like, when you go to a foreign country, it's like a stab in the dark. You just guess what they might eat.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then as we got used to living here, mum started to, you know, make more of our food, you know, more kind of fried rice and kimchi and gimbap, which is like Korean sushi. And yeah, I packed those things for lunch and the kids loved it. They wanted to steal it. So
oh, that's really nice.
What, theft?
Well, no, the theft isn't good, but I think that it's lovely that, yeah, the other kids wanted to get involved, but especially sweet that your mum tried really hard to make all these other kids feel welcome. I think that's such a beautiful gesture. And bless her, she probably just really overthought it. Like with kids back then, you just get hundreds of thousands, mush them into some white bread, and then you're like, there you go, kids, eat it. Like,
yeah, speaking of which, I mean, what are the Australian foods that you, I say Australian foods, what is our food identity?
We've got nothing.
Fairy bread is basically this abomination that we came up with. And I was going to ask what you thought of, you know, the food over here when you arrived.
I do remember having my first meat pie. It was chicken pie and I really didn't like it. I'm like, why is this like mushy, salty thing inside this beautiful pastry, you know? It was just so weird. But now I'm obsessed. Like I love, we always have some frozen steak pepper pies in our freezer. It's like nice. our little secret snack. But yeah, that was weird. And also I remember we went to Movie World, my whole family, and we went to so many different theme parks when we first got here because my parents were trying to make us sort of enjoy the fact that we were here and we had to live here in a new place. And we for lunch, Dad went and bought these sandwiches and we're like, ooh, chocolate sandwiches. And that was my first taste of Vegemite. And the whole family was just like, we were just, yeah, no one, everyone had a bite and go, what is wrong with this food? Like, what is this?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's not chocolate. And we actually didn't know what it was. And we just went, ugh.
Vegemite is confronting enough as it is. If you think Vegemite's going to be chocolate, oh boy, that's a roller coaster that you don't want to be on.
Oh, yeah. That disappointment in that first bite.
I'd love it if that's the official quote on a Vegemite jar from Dummy M. Disappointment. Yep.
You know what's going to happen? They're going to send you a crate with just
an
apology
on it.
Oh, no,
they're going to send you so much Vegemite.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Well, I'd love it if we could head back to MasterChef for a second. Mm. So you have clearly, or I assume you've got right from the get-go, a huge advantage over all of the other celebrities in there because you know how to operate under high-pressure reality television environments. I mean, that's your jam. But what were some of the, was there anything in this filming process that surprised you or that you weren't expecting?
I feel like because it was related with food, I actually enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would. You know, normally when you're on a TV set and like reality TV set and it's a competition, it's like, it's so intense. And if it's something to do with like my performance of singing or like even dancing, like it was really stressful. Whereas with cooking, like even though it was still intense and quite stressful, I was also thinking like it's food, like I get to eat it at the end of this. And I think the first challenge was really stressful because, you know, it was no one had done it before. We just didn't know what to expect, learning to use the equipment and that whole new environment on that film set was really intimidating. But then after that, we all realized that once it's over, we can all taste everybody's foods. Like we just got into sort of the rhythm of it. And I really just enjoyed it, enjoyed the company of everybody else and just looking at what other people cooked. And, you know, when the other contestants really liked my food, that was really exciting. So, yeah, just the fact that we were playing with food, it was just so exciting.
I know it's really early days in the season, but if you had to eat one contestant's food for the rest of your life, I mean, this is kind of what we do on this show. We put you in terrible scenarios.
No win scenarios, yeah.
No win scenarios. But if you had to just pick one of your fellow contestants on MasterChef and go, right, like I'm going to have Thorpe's food for the rest of my life or Dill's for the rest of my life, who would you choose?
That's a good question.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You know what? I actually loved everything that Chrissy Swan was cooking.
Really? That's awesome.
Because her food was like real kind of comfort food, you know what I mean? Like when, because she actually cooks for her family, like her huge family every day, it wasn't fancy food, but there were things that I would just eat every day, like big bits of cake, and I won't reveal everything, but it was just like real home food that you'd want your mum to be cooking. Like maybe if my mum was a real Australian, then maybe she'd cook like Chrissy Swan. Like if she was my mum, I would be so happy.
Oh, that's a really lovely take on it, actually.
Yeah.
Just that simple comfort food that, yeah. I mean, sometimes you're right. You come home and you don't necessarily crave the fanciest dish on the planet. You just want food that is a hug.
Yeah, but I thought because you're... Because you're a star, I thought you were going to go, you know what? Mine. I'll eat my cooking. Oh.
No way. I do that every day and it's like, it's boring now. It's boring. Right. I have really cheap taste, I think. I'm not a big fan of high-end dining. Like I get bored too easily. I need things to come out quickly and in big portions. And if it's yummy, I find, yeah, those really basic foods the most comforting, you know? Yeah, I'm just not fancy, hey, in my taste. And I think maybe that wasn't a good thing for MasterChef, maybe in the pros. Like it, when I think about it, I'm like, oh yeah, they're really fancy chefs on the, you know, on the judging panel. But I was always like, you know, like my standards, I felt everything was so different. And I'm like, oh, this person's food was really good, but they said it was bad. What happened? It was just taste buds. I have real basic, real pleb-like taste buds. So, yeah.
God, you gotta talk yourself up.
But I don't think I associate anything to do with you as pleb. It does. I suppose it makes me feel nice knowing that you've gone in and I don't know. There's one thing that Dummy Im isn't amazingly instantly fantastic at. Finally.
Well, I mean, I'm just imagining you on tour, and now that you've kind of revealed that you have, and I'm quoting you here, pleb tastes. I'm sitting here and going, what are you like on tour? Because if you finish a gig and, you know, it's 2 a.m. and you're on your way back to the hotel, what is your go-to guilty on-tour food?
You know, like when you're on tour, you finish late and after you do a show, you don't really get a big choice. And I mean, I guess if you're staying at a nice hotel, you could get a fancy room service, but even then. Mm. But usually, oh my God, I feel like people are going to judge me, but... It was really exciting the other time, or when I actually got to tour this year, which was like once, there was a Taco Bell nearby and that was so exciting. Okay. that's the level of plebness I'm talking about here. Taco Bell, exciting. McDonald's, yeah, still exciting.
Right. But are you sending photos of a Taco Bell taco?
She's already said that was a yes, Paul.
Yes, but I'd assume, Dami, I assumed we were talking some sort of bougie blue corn fancy thing, and you're saying that it's 2 a.m. and you're exhausted, your mascara's running, and you're sending your best friends photos with no context of bad tacos sitting sweating in a paper basket.
Not bad. Come on. They're tasty. I mean, yeah, if it's warm and if it's, I don't know. Oh, I see, like my standards are really low, I think. But and that's something I learnt on MasterChef. Because, yeah, like sometimes, like honestly, so many times I was like, hey, that tastes really good. And then they're like, no, the judge said it sucked. I'm like, oh no. I don't get it, you know?
Do you think that you will change how you approach food coming out of MasterChef? Is there anything that you've learned where you've gone, right, from now on, I'm going to approach this through a Chrissy Swan lens, or that I'm going to do this when I'm in the kitchen? What has it changed?
Oh, it definitely did. So after we filmed the show earlier this year, I became so much more interested in cooking, not just Korean food, but like I said, you know, making my first lasagna, for example, like I wouldn't have even thought about doing that. You know, you buy that stuff. I cook Korean meals, but I buy everything else, I think. And I went and thought, this is all doable. You know, I saw other people do it. I saw the judges were teaching us, like they were trying really hard to help us because I think they felt sorry for us. That, I'm not even joking. Like, yeah, like we had really varying degrees of competence in the kitchen, and then yeah, judges are teaching us the basics of how to cook steak and how to cook a good fish, and behind the scenes, like without the cameras on, they were teaching us how to make pasta from scratch and ice cream. Like, it was really such a precious time, and I came home and I tried all those things, and yeah, so lucky.
Did you learn to play it up? I mean, because presentation can hide a multitude of sins, right?
Yes.
How did you learn to make things look good?
That was the other thing. I would never do that before MasterChef. I thought plating was the biggest waste of time. You know, like it's going to all go in your stomach. So what's the point? And you don't waste anything. Just put it in there and make it taste good. But who cares about the colors and whatever? But I learned sort of why people do it. Like, it makes you feel really good when you're finished with the dish, and it's got a shiny bit of, what do you call, like sauce on it, or puree, or bits of parsley leaves sprinkled on top. Like, I never used to really do that. And yeah, so that's something I started doing. And yeah, I love impressing people now with my parsley bits.
Spring parsley on everything, even if it works or not. You know, it's interesting. Everyone knows how good your dress sense is when you're performing. I mean, is that not the same thing? Is it, you know, you're taking something that you do really well and you are giving it like a garnish so that visually people go, oh, wow, and they pay more attention.
That's an interesting way of looking at it.
I've never really thought of it like that, but that makes so much sense, because when I'm performing or I'm making a music video or photo shoot, I do really care about the presentation. Like, it's so important. I go through so many different, you know, ideas and reference photos, and I talk with the experts and we come up with something great. But when I'm not working, when I'm at home, or when I'm just going out to see friends, I don't really put that effort in there. The difference is huge between something I care about and something that's real life, you know? So with food, if it's something I'm preparing for, say, MasterChef competition or for like important guests, yes, I would now I can say I'd go that extra step and try and make it look good as possible. I'd look at 100 different pictures on Google to, you know, get ideas. Whereas if it's me and my husband, I would just throw it together and it looked gross, but he would have to say it looks great anyway, so it's fine.
What I love hearing though is that, you know, as you said, you only cooked lasagna for the first time last week, and there are just so many things that you've not tried about, I guess, this Western style of cooking. I wouldn't know where to start with Korean. I don't know what the basic ingredients are. I don't know what my you know, the best in is for Korean cooking. What would you say for people like me who just haven't really been exposed? Like, if you thought there was one dish that could really sum up the Korean food experience, what would that dish be?
Korean food is kimchi. So for those that don't know, kimchi is like this fermented cabbage, usually. Could be other vegetables like radishes or spring onion, but yeah, normally cabbage, and it's red because it's got lots of chilies on it, and it's fermented, so it's a bit like sauerkraut but spicy and really flavorful. So we eat that with everything, like every meal basically. And I actually saw this TikTok trend. That's a thing now. Everybody's eating Korean food like kimchi and Korean seaweed.
That's cool.
Yeah. So Korean food's having a little moment, which is really exciting for me. It wasn't like that when I was growing up. Nobody knew anything about it. Yeah, just some warm rice with the kimchi and the Korean seaweed that's seasoned with sesame oil and salt. And that's kind of the basic, like that taste, that combination just tastes amazing. From there, you can add other stuff like, you know, your meat or whatever. But I would say try that. It's so easy. You just buy the seaweed and the kimchi and make some rice. And that's the taste of Korea, I reckon.
It sounds like fermentation and pickling are kind of a big deal in Korean food.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. So, and the sauces, actually, I think Korean food is all the same, like, the ingredients are the same once you start to make it. Like they all, I mean, it's not the same. Obviously, like everything looks different, but the basic ingredients, it's all to do with, apart from kimchi, there's gochujang, which is a fermented chili paste. It's like this smoky, thick chili paste. And the other one is doenjang, which is a fermented soy paste, a bit like the Japanese miso that you used to make soup with, but a little more earthy and a bit stronger, I think. And soy sauce, of course. And you can make pretty much every Korean dish, soup or meat or other vegetable things using those ingredients.
And you rocked up to MasterChef with just a backpack of each of those, right? And just, or did you kind of give them a shopping list? Like, do you go, I will need these items, thank you very much.
So we actually did get to give them a shopping list. Like, no, we've got everything here, we can find everything. But I actually didn't trust them, so I did bring a bag full of these ingredients. Yeah.
Oh, that's so lovely. I can imagine you rocking up with like your little reusable Coles bag. Like, guys, I've done my own shopping.
Yeah, and I was going to bring my own rice cooker, but they're like, no, don't do that. We've got like everything, heaps here. But it did turn out that the cooker was different to what I had at home. And it's, yeah, that was hard.
Oh, you should have brought your own. That would have been amazing.
I know, but it's humongous. It's like the size of a, you know, a big, what would you say? Like a big speaker. So it's pretty heavy.
Maybe it was. Just bring a speaker anyway. Just play your own music. You know, be that person in the kitchen. I'm sitting here going, all right, because part of me, dummy, is going, why would you do this apart from, because it's a very high stress thing, but you weren't just doing it, you know, because it would be fun. One of the things that the winner of Celebrity MasterChef gets is $100,000 given to a charity of their choice, yeah?
Yep. So my charity of choice was Compassion. Compassion is a bit like World Vision, where you get to sponsor like a one-on-one child sponsorship for a kid living in poverty around the world. Mm. And I've been sponsoring with Compassion since I was 17.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and since then, I had the privilege of actually going over there to meet my sponsor kids in India and Uganda and in the Philippines. And the work they do with these kids, it's so wonderful. I really loved the fact that the locals actually do the work. Compassion employs the locals to care for their own community rather than an outsider coming in and trying to save them. So it really empowers the whole community, and everybody just really loves the support of Compassion, and they can really pick up the community and give hope to some remote place that otherwise have no hope of breaking away from this chain of poverty. So yeah, I love that I get to be talking about them through MasterChef.
I've actually seen the footage, this beautiful video that's online of you meeting your sponsor child in Uganda, this absolutely beautiful little girl, and you can just immediately see the connection that you both have. I can imagine that you carry these children with you in your mind and in your heart a lot of the time, because they, you can tell that they're very, very special to you.
Yeah, I really loved meeting all the kids, and I think about them a lot. And yeah, in Uganda, little Jovia, she was like so cheeky. You get to know them through writing letters, but when I actually got to meet her, I realized she's just another little kid, you know, yeah. The same as anyone you see in Australia. She just, even though she lived in this slum and in such tough conditions, she was just so cheeky, just playing pranks on us and, you know, putting on my sunglasses. And we just had so much fun. And yeah, I just love that, you know, they get a good chance of leaving that cycle. So,
oh, well, I hope you do really well just so that you can deliver all this money to your charity. But it is so wonderful that you're able to give them so much exposure. That said, you're not going to get a lot of exposure from this point on because you are trapped on our island for the rest of eternity, which is just, you know, such shame because I'm sure you had gigs on the horizon. Oh. They're all cancelled now.
Yeah, they're cancelled anyway. That's yeah.
Right. Although actually, this island is the next venue for the next Eurovision. So you can still do that.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's really cool. Handy. There we go.
Yeah. That counts.
But while you're here on our island, you can only bring one dish with you that you will eat for the rest of time. And the variety of dishes is getting quite wild now as the population on our island grows. Mm. But I'm so curious to hear what dish you would like to contribute to the fray.
One dish. So I can only eat this dish for the rest of my life. Is that?
That's correct.
Having said that, Dami, I'm of the opinion that all the rest of the guests, you can trade dishes.
Oh, that's not bad.
Well, you can create like an economy because someone's going to have something that you want, right? So, I mean, we've already got two Hainanese chicken rice.
There is a Linzer torte. Couple of toasted sandwiches, one filled with leftover pasta, the other one classic ham, cheese and tomato.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a fair bit of stuff, but there is no Korean food on Dish Island.
I see. So I'll have something of value that people want to trade with. Okay.
Yeah.
Love it. Once again, you're coming in with tactics. I love it.
I am. So it would have to be something to do with kimchi because I can't live without kimchi. I really hope that the other residents are kind of open-minded to know, like, to want to try kimchi if they don't know it, because otherwise. But I'm also happy to be eating this on my own for the rest of my life. I would bring a kimchi fried rice. You cannot go wrong with that.
Oh, amazing. Do you have a recipe, like a go-to recipe for kimchi fried rice? Is this like a family thing that was passed down, or have you kind of figured one out for yourself that you think is perfect?
I actually did learn this from my mum, and I guess every family does it differently. But I mean, it's fried rice. Like, it's not rocket science. But my mum just puts in kimchi and she pan fries it with some sort of meat or ham or something. And then put in vegetables, lots of onions, because that makes it sweet, the whole thing, without adding sugar in it. And then rice. And for the sauce, you put in some soy sauce and a little bit of oyster sauce. And you top it with a fried egg. And that is my beautiful childhood favorite dish and still my favorite.
How much kimchi are you putting in this dish?
Or like half of it would be kimchi. So, but kimchi, the bad thing is it does smell bad. When I buy kimchi from a shop and bring it home, the whole car stinks like fart. And like, even though I love kimchi, I still don't like the smell of it. So
I just love the idea that people in the kitchen at MasterChef started referring to you as the fart lady in the corner with
them. That never would have happened, Paul.
Well, no, she said the car smelled like fart. There's no reason to. I mean, you could fill the kitchen with that smell pretty quick, right?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it was a huge kitchen, so it was okay. But, you know, yeah. Actually, the judges were loving the kimchi. They were just like, it was my ingredient. And Andy started just picking at it. I'm like, dude, I need that.
I need this stuff. Well, that is a good sign, though. That is a really good sign when they're, yeah, eating it before you've even plated it up. Very positive.
Well, I'm now convinced that you are going to be like the pick of the island now, because like we said, no one's got kimchi. That dish sounds amazing. Tegan and I are going to have to go and try and cook that now, I think.
Yeah, we're going to have a real time with that, but I'm sure it will come together. I'm feeling positive.
Yeah.
Definitely do it. Yeah. Kimchi, I'm a big advocate for kimchi, and I feel like I might have done that too much on the show as well. I'm really scared that I'd be that annoying kimchi lady on the show, just going, get kimchi.
It's like you've just got a very strong campaign message, boo Vegemite, yay kimchi. It's clear.
Oh, yeah, I think I'll get some hate for that, though, from, yeah, the Vegemite lovers.
Oh, please. If I had to pick kimchi or Vegemite, I've loved kimchi for many years, and I've hated Vegemite. So, yeah, I would vote for you if you ever ran for office. Oh, yeah.
You're not a real Aussie. No,
I am certainly not. But that's cool because we live on a different island now, and this one's a hellscape, and it's not a democracy. So we're really happy you're here, and we're just so glad you could join us on the island. And, yeah, welcome, and thank you for coming today to Dish Island.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
What a treat that was, Paul, but I cannot believe that Dami has not only been faking her way through the Celebrity MasterChef kitchen, but that she makes up lyrics in songs. She's an inspiration to all of us. But I've got to ask, Paul, have you ever faked anything in your career?
Well, at one point on my resume, I put down that I could play guitar. Now, I don't know why. I just felt like my skill set was pretty narrow and I needed to kind of diversify a bit. And thankfully, by the time I got big enough to have a proper resume with actual credits on it, I could just quietly delete guitar from the bottom. What about you?
I once sent off a CV with a pretty bad spelling error on it once.
Right.
I, instead of saying that I was available for a job interview at any time, I accidentally said that I was available for a gob interview at any time.
Are you serious?
Serious.
You get any calls?
No, I did though once. I said on my acting CV that I could swim. And I put that on specifically because I was auditioning for a role on, God, what was it called? It had mermaids in it. I think it was called H2O.
Yes, yes,
H2O, yes. H2O Just Add Water or something like that.
Yuck.
So I was auditioning to be one of the lesser important mermaids. Didn't get it, but I told them that I could swim. And I'm so grateful that I didn't get that role. Because I cannot swim.
That seems like the worst idea of all time. And speaking of the worst idea of all time, do I get 10 segue points for that?
That was a good segue.
Yeah, great. Speaking of the worst idea of all time, next week's guest on Dish Island is the wonderful Tim Batt. He's the co-host of the incredible podcast, The Worst Idea of All Time, which is a podcast in which Tim and his friend Guy sit down every week and watch the same film over and over and over. Now, they've done this with a whole bunch of movies, including Sex and the City 2, which means I think Tim's endurance is pretty high. So he is going to make an excellent fit for Dish Island. So don't miss it.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Dish Island.
Dish Island is a proud member of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.